This is After the Gridiron, a podcast featuring interviews with retired football players. Thank you for tuning in to the show. Before we get to the episode, please make sure you hit that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode. Today, another player shares his incredible football journey with us and talks about his life after the gridiron. You're going to love it. Enjoy.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of After the Gridiron. I am your host, Lyle Green, and we have another great guest lineup for you today. Today, we have former NFL player Christo Bilukidi. So, Christo played four full seasons in the NFL. He played with the Oakland Raiders, Cincinnati Bengals, Baltimore, and the team in Washington. He was drafted by the Raiders in the sixth round of the draft in 2012. He was also drafted in the CFL, actually, by Winnipeg. For schooling, he went to Eastern Arizona Junior College. He started out there and then transferred to Georgia State, where he played his next couple years. And he's actually first player from Georgia State to be drafted into the NFL. So we'll talk about that a little bit. And now, after the gridiron, after he's done football, he is a investor and real estate agent with the Dream Team in Ottawa, Dream Team Real Estate Group. And his website is www.dreamteam613.ca. So, Christo, thanks for coming on and welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
I appreciate your time. So, I usually start off my episodes asking my guests to say something about themselves that most people don't know about them. So what would that be for you? What's something about you that most people don't know about you?
I'd say I'm a huge soccer fan.
Okay.
I grew up, my first sport ever played was soccer. I think I was about 9 years old. The team that I was in, we had a really good team, almost somewhat of a dynasty, if you want to call it. I think we went like 3 years without losing.
Oh,
wow. It was not your average, you know, soccer team that, you know, like 10-year-old kids are just running around. Like, we had a full-on, you know, regimented team with a coach that was from Portugal. And, I mean, his teaching methods were, you know, all about winning and stuff. So that's what I kind of got used to. So after that, it just became a love and passion. So I'd say that that's a lot of people don't know how much I love soccer, but it's my favorite sport. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, soccer is definitely one of my favorite sports. Growing up as a kid as well, played a lot of soccer myself, so I can definitely relate with that. So especially now with Alphonso Davies being the first Canadian to win the Euro title up there with Bayern, so it's a good time for Canadian soccer right now.
Big time for Canadian soccer. I'm excited now.
Yeah, definitely. Lots of great things coming up in the future, looks like. So, did you have a favorite team growing up as a kid? I'm guessing you did.
Yeah, you know, so when I was growing up, the 98 World Cup was kind of the it was the tournament that got me introduced to soccer. So a lot of my family, so I'm originally Congolese, so a lot of my family supported the French national team. So at the time, obviously, with Thierry Henry and Zidane and all those guys, you know, those are the guys that I looked at when I was growing up. So I'd say, you know, the French national teams for sure is a team that I support. And Paris Saint-Germain is like the lead team that I support as well, too, and stuff. So I'd say those two are the team that are my main focus.
Nice. Yeah, that's a very good choice. And I'm partial to the Brazil team. I'm a Brazil fan myself, but... can't go wrong with the French team as well. So let's go back to the beginning. So obviously you played some soccer growing up, but when did you start playing football?
Started my last year of high school. So I was a basketball player. So after, you know, playing soccer for a few years, when I got to high school, you know, I transferred in basketball, and, you know, because I was growing, you know, I was still obviously athletic as a kid. I was tall. So started playing basketball in the neighborhood that I grew up in, and then obviously tried out for the high school teams and made it. So started playing basketball. And then my last year of high school, I have a buddy of mine, which also played in the CFL as well, too, for a few years. He was playing football, and he's the one that introduced me to football. So I started my senior year of high school.
Okay. Who's your buddy that played?
Jem Swamy played. I think he played like 2 years. He's with the Toronto Argonauts.
Okay. Cool. And so obviously you developed into a pretty good player, and obviously your skills were advanced, and being a natural athlete, I guess, wasn't too hard to adjust to football. So what made you stick with football over soccer? You mentioned obviously that you're a huge soccer fan growing up. So why did you choose football over soccer? Did you look to pursue soccer in the next level as well?
Well, you know, I think it was the opportunity that football gave to me with like school. You know, when I was younger, and I was a goalkeeper, by the way, so I played goalie.
Oh, okay.
I did have an opportunity to go into a soccer team that was a travel team. I think I was probably like about 13 years old. The problem with that is, you know, I grew up with a single mother. So that travel team, I think a year cost, you know, a couple grand. And obviously we didn't have that kind of money. So that's where soccer was kind of going. It was kind of leaving the path that I wanted to go to. And I think it was just financially. And I had to go towards more sports that were, you know, not as expensive. So when I started playing football, you know, I went up to a camp up in the Toronto area, and I won the MVP in that camp. And schools were just lining up and, you know, talking to me and wanting to give me scholarship. And there was American schools there as well, too, that were offering scholarships. So I saw the opportunity of, you know, playing football and going to school for free where my parents or my mom didn't have to pay for. So that's where I saw the opportunity of just sticking in with football.
Okay. That makes sense. So, you ended up going to Eastern Arizona. So what led to you going to them, choosing them over the other schools?
Right. So when I was after that camp that I just mentioned, Louisville was a school that was eyeing me the most. And obviously I did my research and saw how big of a school Louisville is.
Yeah.
So they offered me a scholarship. But the problem was there's a few courses that I had to take. Obviously, you know, I don't know if you played down in the NCAA, but like if you're a Canadian, you have to get a certain amount of university courses to transfer to a university. And I didn't have those courses at the time. So they gave me the option to go to a junior college, do my 2 years there, graduate, and then go on and transfer out to Louisville. So I did. So I went to Eastern Arizona. But the year after the season I got there, that whole coaching staff got fired. So obviously my connection with Louisville was gone. So I obviously had to find an alternative route, which obviously Georgia State came knocking on the door.
Okay. And so talk about your time at Eastern Arizona while you're there. How did things go while you're there?
Yeah, it's a real deal. I mean, if you've ever seen Last Chance You on Netflix, it's really it's the same, right? It's a grind. You know, I obviously didn't know what to expect because I'm not American. I, you know, grew up here in Canada, so I didn't know what to expect when I was going down there. But I saw how it was immediately when I was there. I mean, you have to fend for yourself. You know, obviously you got to get your schoolwork done, but then as well too, you got to play football. And mind you, I mean, there's some of those guys at that league are some of the best athletes in America. The only problem is either they just, you know, their school wasn't good or they just had trouble. Yeah. But that's why they were sent there. But I mean, my experience there was a humbling experience. I will say that. But I would say it definitely got me to play at my highest level, because again, I was playing with some of the top athletes in the country that were out there.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's a big, adjustment for Canadians, especially, you know, going from Canadian football to, football in the States. It's like hockey to them. So their level of coaching and their level of passion for the game is much different than, that's something that I realized as well going down there. It's a totally different ball game for sure. So, and like you mentioned, being at a junior college doesn't mean it's a less quality player. There's definitely lots of great players there. Just, you know, might be there for a couple of years just to get the grades up, or if they're in trouble or whatever the case may be. So, yeah, the level of skills and talent at that level is really high as well. So for you to be able to play there and learn there is definitely a great learning experience for you, for sure.
Absolutely. That's, I can say that, you know, the learning curve when I got there was pretty significant.
Oh, yeah, because
I had to learn real, real quick. I'm like, all right, if I want to play at this level, you know, some of these guys are, you know, because some of these guys were, you know, five-star recruits and, you know, they're supposed to go to Alabama, Florida, some of the big schools, right? So they obviously had giant egos. So I had to understand that and stuff, right? So I had to obviously raise my level of play as well, too.
Exactly. And I'm not sure in your area what the high school is like in terms of rules, but was that an adjustment for you as well, having to, like, did you have a yard off the ball and there was a DN that might be a big deal for you? So was that a different adjustment for you as well?
Well, so I actually, when I was getting recruited by Louisville, I was actually a tight end, you know, it just made sense. I was a basketball player. And obviously started playing football, especially as a basketball player, you kind of transition into a tight end because you got the height, you got the size, you got the hand-eye coordination and stuff. So that's where Louisville was recruiting me. So then when I got to Eastern Arizona, they changed their offense into a triple option scheme. So that's where I thought, I didn't see any fit for me as a tight end. I mean, I'd just be a blocker, right? I wouldn't be a receiving tight end. And that's what Louisville. Exactly. So that's when I made that switch. You know, the coach saw me, said, you know what, you have the ability to play defensive end, right? Because obviously you're athletic, obviously you don't know the position, but, you know, we can teach you how to play, you know, at this level. So I started playing defensive end, and then that's when I started understanding a little bit more on the defensive side of the ball. But I didn't start as a defensive lineman. I started as a tight end.
Okay. Yeah, well, you see a lot of those guys in the NFL, whether it's Antonio Gates or Travis Kelce, you know, guys that played basketball. Tony Gonzalez played basketball and transferred to tight end. So you see that for sure a lot in the NFL. Yeah. Okay, so from there, you ended up going to Georgia State after the coaching staff at Louisville left. So how did you choose Georgia State after leaving Eastern Arizona?
You know what? It was, you know, I went to a few visits and, you know, I don't know if you've ever been in Atlanta, like the city of Atlanta, but it's one city that I just fell in love with. You know, I looked at how it was over there, just the vibe, you know, how they do. And then I think the thing that attracted me even more was that it was a brand new program, right? So, you know, they sold me number one on the coach that was going to be the head coach, which was Coach Curry. You know, Coach Curry is a legend in the South, if you know him. You know, he won the – obviously coached at Alabama, coached at Georgia Tech, you know, coached at some of the big schools. So that's the number one thing that sold me there. So I know I was going to be with a coach that has a lot of experience. But then as well, too, the fact that, again, that Georgia State is a brand-new program, you know, I knew I can build something there. I can build a legacy. So I think that, for me, that really attracted me to go there because I knew I can start something – that nobody else has started, which obviously eventually I did.
Yeah. Okay, and then how did it end up? So you mentioned that it was a great opportunity to you know, start off at a new program. So how did it end up at Georgia State?
It was great. Like I said, I did 2 years at Georgia State. Our first year, we had a winning season back in 2010. So obviously we ended on a high note. We played the University of Alabama in our first year as well too, and I can honestly say that's probably the reason why I got, you know, drafted and wasn't undrafted, is because of how I played at that game. The opportunities were there, and obviously I took full advantage of it. I mean, Georgia State, like I said, it was a great school. You know, it's the second largest school in Georgia. People really don't know.
Oh, really?
But obviously, exactly. But never had a football team, which obviously is very weird for a football state school like Georgia to not. Exactly, to not have a football program. But like I said, it was honestly one of the most fun I've ever had. You know, obviously I've created a lifetime friendship from the guys that, you know, I played with over there and stuff, because you obviously know it's a full-on fraternity, but especially with, you know, guys coming in and building a program, you know, so like 100 years from now, right, as Georgia State has continued to grow as a program, we're going to be, you know, the founding fathers, if you want to call them, of that program, and we'll have something to cherish for the rest of our life and stuff, right? So it was an amazing 2 years. I mean, I don't I don't ever look back and regret it because, you know, I had the best experience.
Nice. So you said you had some good games, especially against some high quality opponents like Alabama, and it's got you recognized by the NFL. So talk about the draft process and how that went for you. You went in the sixth round of that draft. So talk about, is that where you're expecting to go? Were you expecting to go higher or lower? Just talk about that whole experience.
Well, with my agent, we were kind of really looking into more of the undrafted route. Okay. Just because, you know, I'm coming from a brand new program, and we were playing everywhere because we're an independent school for the first 2 years. We were playing everyone and anyone, right? So we're playing Division II schools, Division I schools, Division I AA schools, you know, so we didn't have the only true exposure that we had from everyone is when we played Alabama. So yeah, so we were thinking we're probably going to go, you know, somewhere in the undrafted, maybe low rounds and stuff. But I think, like I said, is, you know, my game against Alabama, I think, is the one that the coaches or the scouts really were impressed and, you know, just saw that the potential that I had to obviously play at the highest level. I went to one All-Star game. The All-Star game was up in Arkansas, and there was a few scouts there as well too. And I, you know, obviously did all the interviews with the scouts. They obviously liked me as a person. You know, I did well in school as well too. Never got into any trouble because, you know, that's how it is when you get scouted into the NFL or into the CFL, is they want to see what type of person you are, right? Because obviously you're representing an organization at the end of the day. So obviously I had that, which is great. I had a decent pro day as well. Some good numbers as well that definitely held case. But I think, like I said, putting on the tape, you know, they were able to see, okay, this kid has a lot of potential. He's got a lot of upside, you know, long rangey, you know, he's got a good size, good athleticism. And then that's the whole reason. I think that's why I got drafted into the sixth round.
Nice. All right. So talk about your first day in the NFL. Was it the fulfilling of a lifelong dream? What was that experience like? Walking to the locker room.
Well, definitely wasn't a lifelong dream because obviously I started playing football in the year of high school. Yeah. But, you know, I think when I was, when I was a kid, like, I knew I wanted to be a professional athlete for sure.
Yeah.
You know, growing up, I idolized guys like Shaquille O'Neal, you know, LeBron James, you know, because those were at the time that I was really well basketball. And obviously I was telling about like Zidane and Thierry Henry, those, you know, those guys as well too. So I knew I wanted to play sports professionally. But I didn't know it was going to be football. But obviously when I got, you know, my name called and I got drafted, I mean, it was, you know, obviously something that every kid dreams about, to be name called, you know, by, you know, whoever the announcer was, and hear your name and, you know, you're obviously going to be playing at the highest level. So, you know, that was obviously, it was an experience of a lifetime. It's something that, you know, no one can ever take away from you. And, you know, you're always going to have that. So as like, you know, my first day as a professional athlete, as an NFL player in Oakland, it was a lot of adjusting to do. You know, I'm not in college anymore. I'm a grown man. You know, I have to, you know, do things differently. I have to, you know, understand that it's a business and it's not just playing football anymore.
Yeah.
So that was, you know, one of the huge adjustments that I had to make and stuff. And it's hard, right? It's tough for any 21, 22 year old, that's just receiving a nice little signing bonus as well, and be able to just adjust so drastically and stuff. But it was an experience that, again, that no one can, you know, not a lot of people have. And I can say that myself, I've had that experience and I definitely cherish it.
Yeah, it's definitely something that not many people, you know, get to achieve. And yeah, the percentage as they show many times is very small, the amount of people that can make it to the NFL. So to be a part of that group, that fraternity, is a special thing for you. So that's a great accomplishment for you for sure. Okay, so you
yes, for sure.
Yeah, so you played four seasons in the NFL. So talk about your time in the NFL, and maybe near the end when you were thinking of, did you at some point start thinking of what you want to do after football? So talk about your time in the NFL and kind of thinking towards life after football.
Well, sure. Well, my time in the NFL, like I said, it was definitely an adjustment period. My first year in Oakland, I had a decent year. I had an okay year, obviously, coming in as a rookie. I was behind Richard Seymour, obviously probably going to be a Hall of Famer pretty soon, and also Tommy Kelly as well, too. So, you know, those guys were, you know, veterans that were, you know, willing to take me under their wing, which was great. And then I got into the second season and, you know, I got a game in as a starter, I think Tommy Kelly got hurt. So I got in as a starter for two games. And then, you know, towards the middle of the season, you know, things, you know, I was having some issues, you know, some personal issues that was happening, and it was definitely affecting my game. I'm obviously not going to blame it on that and stuff, but that definitely, you know, like I said, deteriorated the game, the momentum, and yeah, the drive and everything. And then I ended up getting released midway through the season when I was in Oakland, and that was definitely a shock. And I think it's a shock to any football player that gets cut for the first time, right? You don't take it as well. Because, you know, if you think about it, your entire life, you know, you've always been the number one guy, whether it's in elementary school, high school, college, you know, you've always been, absolutely, you've always been that person everybody looks to that says you're the best. And then finally someone tells you you are not the best and you cannot play on this team. So obviously it definitely affects you in a way that you kind of don't even understand what's happening. So obviously I had to adjust to that as well, too. You know, luckily I was able to get picked up right away by, you know, the Bengals. So I spent about a year with the Bengals, which obviously was a great experience as well, too. And what the Bengals wanted to do during training camp, because I had a really good training camp with them the following year. So I'm guessing this was 2014. Yeah, I had a really good training camp with the Bengals. So what they wanted to do is they want to hide me and put me on their practice squad. So what they do is they release me, thinking that no one was going to pick me up in, because you think you have 72 hours to get picked up by another team and put yourself on the active roster. Yeah. And the day I got released is the same day Baltimore gave me a call and offered me a job out there in Baltimore.
Oh, wow.
See, I went with Baltimore and, you know, did my year and a half there as well, too, which was also great. I think for me, Baltimore was the best organization I've ever played with. And you can just tell, you know, the organization, the culture there, it's completely different from most teams. And that's why you see them winning, right? They have such a winning culture there. It's just the way they do things. The organization is completely different from all the organizations that I've actually been in. So that experience was great. Yeah, so that experience was great. But now you asked me, obviously, what, you know, kind of got me into, you know, into retirement and thinking about it. And I was in Cincinnati. Oh, sorry. During the off season after Cincinnati, I went back. I always came back home, and one of my best friends is a contractor. So he started explaining me about real estate. I think he had just did a flip for a property. Like, he bought a property, renovated it, and flipped it, and, you know, made some profit from it.
Yeah.
So then I want to start to learn more about real estate, right? Because I didn't grow up learning about real estate at all and stuff. Again, I, you know, grew up with my single mother, you know, we're on welfare. So we obviously didn't have the resources just to understand these type of things. So, but he started teaching me, and he started to let me know about it. So I really got interested in it. And then finally, you know what, you know, as I started investing my own money into real estate, I saw that there is, you know, something that I can do with this, right? So that kind of led into my retirement, where I was like, you know what, like, I love the game. It's given me so much. But I think I want to go into a different route, because my passion is now following, you know, on the real estate side. So that's really the reason why I walked away.
Okay. All right. So before I get into that, I just want to dig a little bit more into your time in Baltimore. So you said they're a much different organization and did things much better. Can you give examples of things that just kind of set them apart from the other organizations you've been a part of?
Yeah. You know what? I can actually start with just, you know, everything starts from the top, right? So it was great when I got to Baltimore. You know, the owner, I guess, Steve Bisciotti, I think is how you say his last name. You know, he comes to the practice field and says hi and comes and talks to me, you know, and I'm brand new to Baltimore. You know, I'm not, you know, I wasn't like a Terrell Suggs or Ray Lewis, right? Yeah. Where high profile players, you know, I was just, you know, another young kid coming into a team trying to make a squad. And he comes down and he introduces himself, you know, greets me, shakes his hand, you know, and I didn't get that from any of the owners from the other teams that I was in, right? So I think from that, it kind of set the tone for me to understand, okay, this is a different type of organization. Like it's definitely a well-run one. And, you know, obviously playing in Baltimore as well too, right? Everybody knows that, you know, Baltimore built their culture on defense, right? And I was on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
So just to feel that presence when you get into the facility, right? That facility obviously is all Baltimore defense because you have, you know, statues of Ray Lewis, you have, you know, portraits, and you have all these accolades of all the defensive accomplishment that they've done throughout the years and stuff. So, like, you just really felt, you know, that culture in there. And that was something that I didn't feel throughout any other organization that I've been through. So that's why, to me, Baltimore was just, you know, top notch, you know, class, you know, A plus, because they just, they had something that all the other organizations didn't.
Okay. Very nice. Okay. So let's now talk about the transition to life after football. So you finished up with Washington and then you kind of transitioned into real estate. So talk about, starting out in real estate, and you kind of mentioned a little bit of your interest in doing some investing. You did some investing while you're playing. So talk about your transition to life after football.
Sure. So, you know, right after, as I was, you know, walking away from the game, you know, I made a purchase. You know, I obviously had, you know, the means to do it. So, you know, I purchased a property, just a condo. And I, you know, just want to understand how to get into real estate, because that's the best way to do it. I mean, you can read all the books, you can go to all the seminars and everything, but, you know, if you really want to learn real estate, you actually have to get into it. Yeah. So I purchased my first property. It was a condo, and I started just learning how to be a property manager and learning how to, you know, pay the bills. I mean, pay for all the expenses, you know, work the numbers and everything that comes with it. So then once I felt that I was ready to move on to something bigger, almost like, let's say, graduate.
Yeah.
I went and bought a 10 unit property. So it's an apartment with 10 units. So obviously that's a lot bigger to manage and stuff, right? So now I've been doing that for the last, you know, 4 or 5 years now. And now I'm obviously going on to bigger projects now. I'm pretty much going to close a 22 unit property in the next month. And I'm just going to keep on, you know, building my doors and building my portfolio. So that's kind of the venture that I'm getting into. Obviously at the same time, I got my license as well, because I wanted to know where I can find these deals, right? Because as a realtor, if you're a licensed realtor, you get access to some of the data and some of the information where, you know, some people are selling it privately or on the market. And I'd be able to do that as well too. So what I did is I partnered with one of my best friends that I told you that's a contractor. And there's no better, you know, team or duo, if you want to call, you know, you have a realtor that has all the data and information, and then you have a contractor that can come in and renovate the properties and increase the value. So that's pretty much what I've been doing now for like the last 5 years, I guess, since I've been retired.
Nice. Very nice. That's, definitely a great combination. You see that on all the HGTV shows with all the people on there. I wouldn't be surprised to see you on there sometime to have an HGTV
show. Maybe sooner. Yeah,
exactly. That'd be awesome.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right.
Okay, so do you mentioned you have been expanding your portfolio. So do you just buy in the Ottawa region? Do you just stay in Canada, or do you branch out to other areas too?
Yeah, so for now I'm just in the Ottawa region, just because obviously I want to build a foundation just before I start investing outside of Ottawa. Obviously, eventually I do want to venture out into the U.S. as well, too, obviously, because I know multifamily is pretty big out in the U.S. So that's definitely a goal of ours. But my goal here in Ottawa is to get to 100 units. Once I get to that 100 unit mark, and I'm giving myself, you know, 5 years to do so.
Yeah.
So once I get there, then now I have more of the freedom or the ability to be like, okay, or the means to be like, okay, I'd like to invest maybe, you know, in Montreal or maybe in the Vancouver side or obviously going down to the U.S., you know. So I want to build my foundation here in Ottawa first before I venture out outside of Ottawa.
Okay, cool. And, yeah, you mentioned during your talk that you always went back to Ottawa during the off-season. So is it just the comforts of home? Is it there's no draw for you to stay in those cities? Why do you always go back to Ottawa in the off-season?
Ottawa's been my home. It's a great city to live in, great city to raise a family. You know, I obviously have all my friends that I grew up that are out here as well, too. So it was, you know, it was kind of a no-brainer for me to come back home after I was done playing and start building something. Especially, you know, I built a pretty solid reputation, you know, just within the city. I became a auto community housing ambassador, and that obviously has allowed me to get connected with a lot of people around the city. Obviously, for myself, just doing some work in the community as well, because I grew up in auto community housing as well too. So it was fitting for, you know, someone like myself that grew up in community housing and was able to now play in the NFL. Obviously, I'm, you know, almost like a poster child for community housing and be able to represent them, and allowing kids as well too that come from these low income housing to allow them to dream and make them believe that obviously that they can do, you know, more than what let's say society tells them to do.
Yeah.
So that's put me in a really good position when I came back to Ottawa. So like I said, for me, it was kind of a no-brainer to come back and start just building my foundation here.
Nice. That's awesome. You never forgot where you came from, and you went back home and still have your connections there and still have the love of your hometown. So that's awesome that you do that and you went back to Ottawa to get back.
You know, I could have lived in Atlanta, Toronto, like, you know, big cities and had my fun. And, you know, obviously, because, you know, when you're in those, you know, big cities, there's so much to do and stuff like that. But yeah. I was like, you know what, you know, I had that, right? You know, I lived in the big cities, you know, I was in the Bay Area, I was in Atlanta, and I had my fun and stuff. So I'm like, you know what, I think now it's time for me to build something. And then, you know, just go from there and stuff. Cause you know, cities like Toronto or Atlanta or LA, they're always going to be there and stuff, and I can always visit. So that's where my decision to come back to Ottawa was pretty concrete.
Nice. All right. So let's, before we finish up, let's talk about, your realty group. So you have the Dream Team there in Ottawa. So talk about your real estate group and how many realtors do you have there, and how you guys serving the community there?
Yeah, you know what? A good group of guys. It's two of us.
Okay.
It's a total of three of us in the group. So first of all, how we came up with the group is we're all athletes. So obviously myself playing football. One of my partner, he used to be a soccer player, played in college.
Okay.
The other partner, he played hockey. AAA, which is a pretty high level as well too.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
So you know, we decided to call ourselves, you know, the Dream Team, just like, you know, the basketball,
the U.S.
basketball Dream Team. Exactly, right? So that's how kind of our name came about. Just because we all have that athlete mentality, right? And we obviously all want to win and we want to compete, whether it's, you know, against other brokerages or even against, you know, each other, right? Obviously we have that friendly competition, which is great.
Yeah.
So we pretty much service the entire Ottawa area. The great thing about each of us is we all have our, you know, our niche. You know, so myself, because I'm an investor in multifamily, so I specialize in multifamily, either purchases or selling. My other partner, the one that's more the soccer player, he's
more into luxury homes. So he does a lot of, like, you know, the luxury homes, whether it's in the city core or outside of Ottawa. And then the other one is just, he's just very well connected around the city. He knows a ton of people. So he just does, you know, big investments and stuff, right? So he's got, you know, partners that they do land assemblies, subdivisions, and that's how he gets himself into it. So, and obviously we all sell homes and buy homes that are just, you know, your average type homes and stuff, right? So we have a wide variety of services that we offer. And that's, I mean, the group is good because it's small, but we still have a big impact in the city.
Nice. And how are you finding the market nowadays? I know with COVID, all people were thinking it's going to be a downturn in the market, but from things I've read, that it's actually been going up recently. So can you talk about how are you finding the market right now?
Yeah, the market is still hot, right? So the market started, you know, blowing up since last year, summer of 2019, and it just kept going even throughout the winter as well, too. It just kept going up. And then obviously when this whole COVID situation happened, you know, it was kind of in limbo for about a week or two, right? Just because of a lot of uncertainty, right? Just people had no idea what was going to happen, the economy, everything else. But then, like I said, after a week or two, the market picked right back up and it blew up even more.
Oh, wow.
And my theory of that is, you know, here in Ottawa, you know, we have public servants, right? It's a government town. So a lot of people work at the government. We also have a tech sector as well, too. So, you know, able to work full time and still make money, right? So that's where, you know, these individuals have been able to buy homes. And that's why it's just has gone crazy, because obviously in a hot market, what's usually the equation to it is, you know, there's not enough supply, but too much demand. So not enough homes are being listed, but too many people obviously want to buy homes. And that's like kind of the, you know, good problem that we have here in Ottawa. So it's definitely increased and it's continuing to increase. And I think what's going to happen is once the borders open up, so let's say now there's more foreign buyers that are going to come into Canada, I think they're really going to look into the Ottawa market, because they're going to see that it's really the only city that even during the whole pandemic, it just kept going up, right? So they'll see it's a stable economy, you know, again, having public servants and then tech sector, and then and the market has gone up. So I think we're just going to see another blow up here in Ottawa in the next, let's say, year or two.
Next year or two, okay. Pretty cool. Good stuff. All right, so yeah, I'd like to finish off with what I call a top of the mountain moment. So kind of looking back on your football journey and all that you've accomplished and gone through to get to where you were at in your football life and now life after football. Do you have a favorite moment, a favorite story, some words of wisdom for young athletes? How would you like to finish things off here?
Well, I'd like to start by saying, you know, obviously words of wisdom, you know, to young athletes is, you know, obviously to make it at that level, you know, there's something more than, you know, your physical ability or where you go to school. I think there's something you have to have deep down in you. It's almost like you really can't even explain it, right? Because, you know, I went to school with, you know, some guys that were just, you know, supreme athletes. I mean, they were just incredible, but didn't make it at the same level as I did. And you kind of ask why. Like I said, it's kind of hard to explain, but you have to have this deep desire to want it so bad, you know? So that's one thing that you kind of want to tell kids, like, you know, listen, you can do it. Anyone can get to that level. You just have to dig deep in a place in your heart, your mind, your soul, and tell yourself that you want it really bad and really act upon it. Right. So, you know, that's one thing that, you know, I'd like to, you know, kind of give a message to the kids as well, too. But then I think the most important message is understand that the game doesn't last forever. Whether you play 2 years or you play 10 years, you retire very young. You retire in your 30s. So there has to be life after football, right? You have to figure that out while you're playing. I mean, I can't stress that enough. You know, I went to a symposium about 2 years ago in Orlando, and it was for all former players. And I was with players that, you know, they haven't played in, you know, a few years, and they still don't know what they want to do. They're kind of still in the limbo and stuff, yeah. Right? So it's very important for any athlete at any for any sport at that highest level is you have to figure out what you want to do while you're playing the sport that you're playing. Although your sport is your bread and butter, that's where you're making your money, that's obviously where your training and your focus should be on, but always remember that you're one knee injury away or one cut away from never playing the sport again. And stuff. So you don't want to be in limbo after you're done playing, because that's how you hear about those guys going broke, not having anything to show for, is because they didn't prepare themselves when they were playing.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, some great words of wisdom and great thoughts there for young athletes for sure. So, Crystal, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate your time and all your stories and for sharing your football journey. And again, for those who are in the Ottawa area, please check them out. His website is Dream Team. www.dreamteam613.ca, and they'll be happy to help you guys out in all your real estate needs. And if you want to share your Twitter or any social media handles that you have?
Of course, yeah. So I'm more active on Instagram.
Okay.
You can obviously you can look me up at Nations Capital Realtor. That's Nations with an S. Capital Realtor. You can obviously, you know, shoot me a message, follow me, and then you'll see obviously all my content. You know, I have a few things on the go as well too. I'm preparing with a marketing team to kind of build my social media content as well too. So if anyone wants to follow me or send me a message, that's where you can find me.
Cool, and I'll have all those in the show notes for listeners to find you there as well. So, Crystal, thank you so much, and appreciate your time.
Much appreciated, Lyle. Thank you again.
All right, man. Take care.
Thank you for listening to After the Gridiron. If you're a fan of the show, please make sure you subscribe to the show and also leave a rating and review. By doing that, you also help to spread the word about the podcast and assist others in finding the show so more people can enjoy this great content. You can also follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, with the links to those being found on the website. Your support is very much appreciated. Also, please visit the resources page on the website for links to our sponsors and affiliates. Their support helps to keep the show running. So go to www.atgridiron.com/resources to check them out. Thanks again for listening, and I'll see you when we kick off our next episode.